This is the Jose Show. Jose Show.
And welcome to another exciting episode of The Jose Show. I am your host, Jose Roldan Jr. And tonight we got a very special episode. I'm going to introduce several people from the movie Steel Will. First of all, let me introduce director Eugene Cousin.
Nice to hear you, Jose.
I'm glad you're here. Thank you. Sean Ferguson, Oksana Plataro, and Mark Heron. So these are the director and three of the main actors from the movie Steel Will, and I've had a chance to watch it. And, you know, it's crazy. I like to watch Rocky and stuff like that. So watching this was actually, it was pretty cool to see a boxing film. And then when I saw the arm and everything, it kind of reminded me of watching The Bionic Man and The Bionic Woman back in the days, and they had all the bionic stuff. So, what we're going to do, first of all, Director Eugene, can you kind of explain what made you decide to make this type of film?
That's a good question, Jose. If you don't mind, first, I'd like to use this opportunity to congratulate my cast, my team, and all our fans and followers. I checked this morning, we hit 4,000 views on our trailer.
Wow, that is good.
Thank you all, guys. That's all your efforts and all your share and support.
Man, so, that talking is amazing.
That's crazy. I was not expecting it myself. So talking about why I decided to do a boxing film, you know, it's kind of like something like my director's trait. I'm taking ordinary things and I'm turning them into something totally new. So Steel Will is cyberpunk boxing drama. Boxing drama is very long and old genre, you know. So you just realized first boxing drama ever was filmed in Great Britain in 1915, film White Hope, silent film.
Wow.
It's that old genre. So my intention was we're taking this genre and we turning some story elements completely different. You saw it yourself. We have some not really like traditional conclusion of film. Not your ordinary, you know, like hero won, that's it, roll the credits. We have something a bit different. And also my intention was to play with cameras. Main task for our camera crew was that we needed camera inside boxing ring together with our heroes. So you can feel it as audience, what's going on there. Because if you're going to watch most of boxing dramas these days, they shot the same way how you're going to see boxing bout on TV. Somewhere outside, you know, like wide shots, and you don't see any details or any close-up emotions. Second part is cyberpunk, which is my favorite genre. You know, like story about not so distant future, grounded in reality future. So I took them both, I combined, and I'm proud to say, maybe bragging a bit, but it's first ever live action film of this genre, which we actually created on this spot.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, I kind of like how you had the camera in the ring. You know, it made you feel a part of the action. You know, I wish a lot of movies did. I mean, some movies do stuff like this, but a lot of times when I watch a movie, I like to feel a part of the action. I like to feel a part of the movie, almost like if I'm there. It's like, you know, back when I was a kid, I used to watch these children's shows, and they said, turn on the TV in your mind. So I would imagine that I was there. So you created exactly that, and I commend you for that. It was good. Now, how did you come about casting all the stars for the movie? Like, how did that come about?
That's an interesting question. I was looking mostly for, well, obviously some acting abilities and talent, but mostly I needed proper energy and chemistry. Mm-hmm. So we have three main actors, Sean, Oksana, and Mark. Mark, don't take it personal. I will put you aside for a bit now, because with you it's a bit different story. It was not traditional casting. With Sean and Oksana, it was traditional casting. Open call. I give chance to everybody, like acting, no acting experience, very broad age range. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter. I needed to find actor and actress who will look, who can portray characters, who can look contrast to each other. So we have our main hero, Robert Steele, our boxing champion. He needed to be that kind of, you know, combination of brute force, of stubbornness, but at the same time, he must be able to show desperation, you know, like inner doubt, that fragility. When he's facing this disaster, when he's losing his arm, he getting this robotic bionic prosthetic. Mm-hmm. In real life, for most boxers, it's going to be like end of career. So yeah. We needed this different character. And also, I wanted him to be loyal, but with some darker sides, with a bit of selfishness. You know, like a real person, not a typical cardboard hero. Like, this is your Captain America. No, I needed somebody like more alive in that terms. And then we have Oksana, who portrayed Robert's wife, Penelope Steele. Mm-hmm. She needed, in terms of personality, she needed to be different, a bit more calm, a bit more feminine, you know. But also, she needed to have a strong will. To be strong as a character. If you remember the story, she faced necessity to make some hard decision for her loved one.
Yeah.
And she was able to do it. And that shows, because in my opinion, only truly strong person can do something not for him or herself, but for somebody else.
Yes, I agree.
So if you don't mind, let me go a bit in details about history of casting.
Because, that's fine. Go ahead.
We put open a call, and in several days, I'm looking up, we have in total 300 submissions for male and 500 for female.
Wow, so that is a lot.
So you just understand, my previous short film was something like 30 people for one role. We have four roles in total. That's crazy. So we've done this casting in several stages. First, we selected just like, you know, headshot, resume, some previous work. We narrowed down like 100 and 100. Selected persons. They received scenes. They needed to do self-tape when you record on video scene. Then we narrowed it down to something like 40, 20, 20. We've done 2 days of live auditions. And Mark helped me there. He was our reader. By that third stage, me and I have also two more producers on this project, we come up with the conclusion that Sean probably going to be the best one. But we have two actresses who made it to this stage. They were both equally good, but had a bit different flavors, you know, like
yeah.
tea and coffee, both hot drinks, but with different flavors. it was Oksana, and let me name this person because she done our selling job. It was Brooke Lusk. So it was back and forth. We decided, let's do online reading. Sean was reading for his part, Robert Steele, and both actresses for Penelope Steele. Then we had, with producers, we had this vote, and we decided, okay, let it be Oksana. But anyway, Brooke, by any chance, if you're going to hear it, great. Thank you for all your efforts. You've gone through immense competition, and you almost made it. Thank you. I really appreciate it. But we're going with Oksana in the end, and we had that couple that had the chemistry on the scene. And Mark, I put him aside because he was casted from the beginning. I worked with him on my previous film, Trick of the Old Cat, which, by the way, was a local hit here in California in 2018-19.
Oh, wow.
Mark, do you remember we've gone through, what, like 2 dozen festivals? I get, what, dozen awards, something like that?
Yeah, there's quite a few awards, actually. It's, you know, a slight, I think when we rolled it out, slight delay in getting to the film festivals, and then it took off. It was really...
And then it was just one after another. It was...
Yeah,
it was crazy. Anyway, when I was writing script for short version, I knew from the beginning I needed Mark there for the trainer. He portrayed Harley, trainer of Robert, and close friend to the family.
Yes.
And Mark has this energy, you know, like a calm wisdom. In story, his character is that glue that brings them together and helps them to go through crisis, who's supporting both of them and trying to help them to overcome this obstacle. And other thing with Mark, he's very good at small improvisations. During rehearsals or actual shootings, he coming up with some ideas, some small gestures, small details that greatly elevate the scenes. In boxing gym, in training scenes, that stopwatch, that was Mark's idea. He just brought it there, and it helped. Like, it's already telling what are happening on the screen.
That's amazing. Wow.
Towel in boxing scenes when he's in corner, that was his idea again. And another thing about Mark that I very much like, he can play very good at playing same thing very differently. He can put it as comedic or, you know, like as dramatic. And during shooting, it's very important to have, you know, like variations. So when you finish shooting film and you go into editing, you have same scene but in different flavors, because you never know what's gonna happen and what's gonna work best in the end.
Yeah, that gives you a chance when you take several shot or several scenes and you redo it, you know, it does give you the opportunity to pick one or the other. Like you said, depending on how the rest of the film goes. So let me ask Sean, what was it like actually being in the film? Like, did you have to do some formal training, or did you already have the training of the knowledge of boxing or anything like that?
Yeah, no, it was kind of a dream come true in the sense that you had mentioned Rocky earlier. That's by and far like my favorite film series of all time. So I'm a big Rocky fan. And my first opportunity to play a character that was a boxer. And what in terms of my background, you know, I'm from the Seattle area. I've been in LA for about 3 years. And in Seattle, I worked with a few amateur boxers for a couple years. And then one of my colleagues is a boxing trainer. So I've got to work with him personally for many years as well, learning the mechanics, learning how to get in the ring, you know, a little bit of sparring and just the overall conditioning, which is just incredible. When we got to shoot, I think it was day two. Is that Friday, right? We got to the gym, Eugene.
I don't remember day or week, but it was second day. It was gym, yes.
Yeah, that's when I lit up like a Christmas tree because I saw the ring, and then I got to see, you know, the set design and production. And it was just so nostalgic, and the way that it was shot, from a cinematography standpoint, just had this amazing like underground feel to it, rough, dark, and it really matched kind of this character. And both from the fact that in his background, he had a really rough upbringing. And then he kind of had to go back in a way, which was somewhat similar to Rocky through that series. But it allowed me to just go in towards the character story easier and to remember what it is I'm fighting for.
Yeah.
And that helped the organic nature of fighting. So yeah, I brought in some boxing background, and then working with the stunt coordinator was incredible. Cammy, he just really was so easy to work with and so knowledgeable too. And in terms of understanding what a punch on screen versus a punch in real life, you know, kind of the mechanics there and helping me with angles and to really understand how that feels and looks. And it was neat to just have that Steadicam right there and just be part of the action. So it was a lot of fun.
It looked so real when the punches went out. I mean, you know, that's what I don't understand. It's like, how do you guys do that and make it look so real, but yet you're not even touching each other? You may be like right there, like within an inch or so, but it's like, it's just crazy. You guys made it look so real.
Yeah. I mean, there are certain techniques I think that you learn when you're on set when it comes to, you know, delivering or receiving a punch. And there's a couple times where it got real close.
Oh, man.
Really close. And then there were times where I was so pumped up, I was telling my scene partner, hit me in the stomach, just go, just hit me, I'll brace, you know, just do it. And he did. And there, it was a great, they had a great idea on one of the shots in the scene where it was from underneath looking up right against the ropes. And I said, you know, there's really no way to try to fake this. I said, honestly, I'm just going to brace hard. I've done enough sit-ups for the last 6 weeks. So just go ahead and hit me. And he did. Those were real shots. And I wanted to feel that. I wanted to kind of say to myself, okay, I'm going to christen myself in this whole fight scenario, you know? So it was fun.
Man, you're a brave man.
It's first time I'm hearing they actually was doing some real punches.
Yeah.
I was outside. The thing called Video Village. That's the first time I'm here. Sean, I'm greatly disappointed.
Hey, I'm now he knows what it's like to be hit for real. So, yeah. Oksana, what was it like playing a supporting actress and having Sean as your husband and, you know, going what he went through and, like, feeling his pain and everything? What was that like?
It was really cool experience. And, you know, it was my first short film that I get to work on. And I think Penelope is very relatable character because, you know, she's going through the drama in the relationship, and you know, we can all relate to some breakups in life or going through divorce, and it's very real. And you know, Penelope has to face this really difficult choice when, you know, to stay with him and support him because she loves him, but you know, how long can she be doing this? And you know, my favorite scene was the final scene when she's making the decision of leaving him because, the pain of staying with him is greater than the pain of leaving him.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed bringing that emotion there.
I can understand that because I myself have been divorced, and you know, I know what the pain is like, and it's really hard. You know, sometimes you think back, you would try to reflect to see maybe you could have done something different. But definitely there is, you know, there is kind of pain there, so I can understand. And I think you did a good job. You know, the scene when you both were in the car, and then, you know, the flash of light, and it's like, wow, this is crazy. I mean, everything looked so real. You did a good job. Now, Mark, you as basically the friend to both, and kind of like I guess you could say the healer, you're the piece of the puzzle that brings everything together. What was it like being like that? I mean, did you have any formal training, or did you read some books on how to do stuff like this, or did you just automatically have the knowledge? Like, some people are just born with that.
Well, I tell you, you know, working with everybody here is just, you know, is phenomenal, and they make it easy, right? And so that relationship, that personal relationship that we get, well, you know, kind of on set, and then as the character, I think it just kind of very organic. I think, Sean had said that as well, and Oksana, you know, there's just such an organic feeling that just comes out of that. And then we just kind of bond and we dive into these characters. And, you know, so training with Sean or Robert, the steel hammer, and then, you know, listening to, you know, Penelope and that grief, you know, it's tough to, you know, you feel for both of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, gosh, it was just, it's just great to be, you know, just having that personal relationship, and that's fun as an actor, and then, you know, off screen as well. So
nothing wrong with that.
Organic, you know,
organic is the best thing. All right. So, Eugene, I have a question for you. How long did it take you actually to film this movie from start to finish?
You're very good at coming up with simple questions, which actually have deep story when you're answering them. No, seriously. If you don't mind, let me for a moment return back to Oksana, getting into her character, because I want to tell one thing.
Okay.
There is a scene where she's crying in front of a window, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
I never tell my actors to cry because it's very hard to bring that emotion in real life without fake tears. And fake tears, most of the time, you're going to see that it's fake.
Yes.
She was doing it by herself. She decided as a character, I will do it. We done several takes. In every take, she managed to cry. That's a talent, because very few can actually do it.
Yeah, exactly.
So I can do that.
I cannot. Or it's harder.
I agree with you on that, because I've seen people cry and it's fake, and you can clearly tell, because a lot of times they put their hands in front of their face because they know they're not really crying. So when you can do something like that, I was told a lot of people that want to learn how to cry, they have to think of something that happened in the past, something, you know, whether it's somebody that passed away or a terrible accident or something. And that's what I've heard. That's how people learn how to cry. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. Is that true, Oksana?
Well, I guess it is a talent that I have, and I didn't know that I have it before I start doing acting, because you know, I am a professional dancer, so I've been doing storytelling my whole life. But in the dance, it's not really something you do. You just don't break up into tears.
Yeah.
And in acting, you do. So once I, you know, kind of gave myself this freedom of expressing myself like that, I was like, oh, I can do it. And it feels great.
Yeah. And it got me. I mean, I could tell it was real. And it was a powerful moment. It was my favorite scene. And moment, because I was like, oh man. And you know, you start to kick into like your own instincts in your personal life, and then but you stay in character, and it was fantastic. It was really cool, and it's inspiring, because the more you're grounded, the more you're in it, the easier it is. And she really managed to, you know, express that, so it was really cool to see that.
Cool. I like that. All right, Eugene, you're back on stage.
So back to our question, how long did it take me to write it? It's actually require a bit of explanation. So you see, Steel Will, it's not only like a finished short film, it's also proof of concept. In the beginning, in 2017, I wrote feature-length version, you know, like a longer movie for hour and a half, Steel Will. Next year, I was working with Olympic boxing champion Taras Shelestyuk. I was directing a series of videos for him. So I practiced several shots, which I'm later going to use in short movie. And I done some adjustments to my script. And I was working to find financing to make this movie. Everything was coming up together, but 2019, COVID came, guys.
Yep.
Whole life put on hold, not just my film. By summer 2020, some producers backed out because we also had economical crisis, you know. There are only two left. We had a talk with them, so we decided we don't have enough money to make a feature. Let's make a short movie, proof of concept. Let's try. Will this idea work in smaller scale? So I can tell you precisely that from June to end of July, I was working on outline of the script for the short version. I was selecting scenes and characters from longer version to bring it into condensed story. And by end of September, we had finished draft, which we used before we was going to casting. But with script in filmmaking, it's not like you write the last sentence and you're done. You keep changing through whole process. So we was changing during casting, rehearsals, filming, during editing. So, and one interesting thing also, from August to September, when we had in California a peak of COVID, everything was on lockdown. I was working on pre-production and I needed to travel between Los Angeles and San Francisco. And script was mostly done in train and in hotel. And that was some experience, you know, like early morning, empty train, literally I'm the only person and some, you know, train employees and I'm writing script. So it's not just only story about overcoming obstacle, it was also obstacle to create this thing in the beginning.
Yeah.
So it was something like 4 months for short script. And then in end of November of 2020, we had a brief window when lockdown was lifted and we rushed to do actual shooting while we can. And we done principal photography, and there was some delays. We managed to finish main editing only by end of March. And now we keep going through festivals and some awards. And the main goal is still there. We're still looking for producers, investors, interested parties. So, guys, if you want to participate in creating a fully unique film, because there is nothing like Steel Wheels still up to date. If you want to help to create this, feel free to reach me out anytime.
Now, do you ever, I know, I don't know if it's Kickstarter or Indiegogo, where people ask for help to do films. Have you tried any of those avenues? Or
I tried it with some of my previous films. And what I learned, you either need a really big name attached from the start, or you need a budget for your advertisement campaign for that kind of Indiegogo.
Okay. Yeah. That's, you know, that's crazy, because I would love to see a full-blown version of the movie.
There is more characters, there is more stories, there is more part to Penelope, to Robert. So what you saw is just like the selected main parts. And also there is a bit different ending.
Now one thing that you had talked about, or they had talked about in the film, you know, in today's society, we have all kinds of sports, and some of the athletes, they have... one of those legs that has like a spring in it, or maybe they have one arm and they have a, you know, a prosthetic arm. And, you know, I think to me, when something like that happens and you're in a sport, you know, they shouldn't ding you for that, because, you know, you can't help it if you lost a leg or something like that. But in the movie there, you know, oh, he's got an advantage over everybody else because he's got a, like a robotic arm. Now, do you agree or disagree that person should be allowed to participate in any type of sport? Or do you think they have more an advantage than anybody? And this can be for all of y'all if you want to answer that.
I talk a lot. I'd say, my dear cast, it's your turn. It's your chance to complain about your director.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, just having gotten a chance to wear the prosthetic and then getting into the mental concept of what would it be like if I did have an advantage like that, or an athlete did. And I think that raises a very interesting topic. In general, I think there's probably going to be a transition sometime in the future where the underground part of the technological world will start to enter sports, and there's an intrigue there. What will happen if a human meets an android or a robot, or two robots fight? You know, what's the interest there? What will people gravitate towards? So, you know, even with like instant replay, I mean, that falls in the arena of technology. Mm-hmm. And that was really, people were really pushing back against that. Oh, that's not, you know, human, right? Because now we have this technology that's going to come in and change the game. But now what's real interesting is this idea of actual athletes who have either prosthetics or robotic things that may happen in 50 years. And how is that going to look? Is that going to be a separate sport, or is it going to, are we going to integrate human? So I think that's what really drew me to this. And I want to say, Eugene, right? Like in the feature, maybe I don't want to give anything away, but yeah, it definitely touches on the idea of the Android as a bigger part of the story. So, I think it's a case by case scenario. It's interesting.
What do you think, Oksana?
Yeah, interesting is definitely a good word to use for this, because is it fair? Is it not fair? You know, in my opinion, I guess any kind of sport, you know, there's different categories. It's either age or, you know, your expertise level. So then whenever you're going against, it's more or less fair, right? So when you have a prosthetic, is it advantage or is it not? It's a question that I don't have an answer to, but it's interesting.
Okay, Mark?
I think that it's really interesting from the standpoint that there's, categories, right? Like you were talking about the spring legs and so forth. And so maybe speed is an advantage in a race to have springs. And then so maybe it's a categorical, you know, all people with prosthetic legs or limbs, you know, racing. But what's interesting here is that, you know, Robert the Steel Hammer had issues with his prosthetic, right? Spoiler alert, he went down. All right. He was on the ropes. He had a malfunction. Something was going on, you know, and I think I don't even think it was the prosthetic arm that did the final blow, was it? It was the, was it? I'm trying to remember. What was your final blow? Was it your non-prosthetic? Am I not supposed to be saying anything?
and he got into spoiler throw.
So he's, you know, oh, hey, and I love it. You know, the contender was like, I'll take this on. You know, there would always be somebody, I think, to stand up and take it. You know, I'll give it a whirl. What does he have to lose, right? I thought it was real kind of a fun crossover there. I think it's really, you know, competitive wise and challenge and the issues that the Hammer faced.
I think human will always be an interesting part to our stories going forward and throughout history. It's a modern day David and Goliath.
Oh yes.
You know, when the odds are stacked up, how much is the human will going to, you know, proceed, and what will happen? Because it makes it very, like everybody's been saying, it makes it very interesting. And so that's what's important about driving this character. And we want to love this guy despite his challenges and despite the fact that he's risking his family. And that's what really excited me about the role. But yeah, it's crazy.
Okay, so I've got something interesting to throw into the mix. Now, and this is kind of, it doesn't have anything to do with boxing, but it does have something to do with maybe something hybrid. Okay, so on one of my episodes, the podcast that I did, I would say 6 months ago, I interviewed a lady from the Discovery Plus channel, and she said she was kidnapped by aliens, and her babies were taken from her. Now, she said she got to see some of her children, and they were hybrid. So she thinks, and they did all kinds of tests, and they verified that it was true that there are hybrid humans living amongst us, which means they are more intelligent, probably more powerful than a normal human. So with that being in play, and we were talking about androids, say if we had sports, do you think that there is actually somewhat hybrid type robotic, maybe people that are living here among us now? That's something I just, you know, it's something that I just came up with. So give me your, what do you think?
First thing that comes to my mind is Wolverine.
Okay.
So like a military situation where they're testing technology in humans. Sure. I wouldn't shock me.
That's good. What about you, Oksana?
Yeah, the same. I mean, there's so many surprises and things happening in the world that I would not be surprised to find out that that's true. And, you know, talking about the alien story that you were talking about, that sounds exactly like I just watched American Horror Story, and they had an episode about that, that hybrid between aliens and humans. So it's exactly everything you just said.
There you go. Mark?
You know, I like the military angle on it. I think if anyone's got something like that going underneath, you know, the technology that we don't know about or have already rolled it out and is among us, it's probably the military or big governments, you know. Seems like the perfect fighting machine.
What about you, Eugene?
As long as that person will not look for Sarah Connor, I'm okay with that, you know.
Yeah, the Terminator.
A movie reference for older guys, yes, unfortunately. Yeah. Actually, if speaking a bit more seriously, if there is somebody or something who's a bit smarter or better right now than ordinary human, I think humanity needs all help it can get right now.
Yes, I agree.
If they're smarter, help us to solve our situation right now, this year, with COVID, with all wars, all economic problems, we really need it.
So, Eugene, what do you have next coming down the pipeline? Anything else movie-wise, TV series-wise?
Well, Steel Wheel is my main course of action right now. We need to turn it into feature film. Because, funny thing, the same way how you reached me, almost every week, several people gonna leave a message on our social medias asking, your trailer looking so good, where we can watch this movie? Is it feature? We want to watch a feature. And unfortunately, I needed to explain every time that for now we're in festival circuit. Until you're on festivals, you cannot put it online because then festivals will turn you down. But I can tell that we expecting to hear back from three big festivals. It's Santa Barbara International Film Festival and CineQuest, both in California, and one in Ann Arbor Film Festival in Michigan.
Oh, wow.
And they're supposed to happen March, April. I really hope they will pick us up and we will be able to screen for at least for whole United States. And there is also a Florida Film Festival where we submitted, but they're going to happen a bit later, I think, somewhere closer to summer.
Like where at in Florida? Because I'm in Zephyr Hills, which is about 30 miles from Tampa.
Oh, I don't know. I cannot answer right now. I'm sorry. I don't remember it because I submitted it like for 20 right now, and I keep submitting it because the same thing with audience festivals keep reaching out to us and asking like, hey, this is a cool project. Can you submit it to us? But why not?
Now, when they go to the festivals, do all of you go to the festival as well?
So a bit of history. My previous film, Trick of the Old Cat, which happened pre-pandemic, how it happened, they're going to screen your movie in theater. Mm-hmm. And usually they're inviting several people and you can bring whoever you want. So it's like almost like an ordinary movie. These days, it's all different from festival to festivals. Somebody going to do it traditional way. Some going to do it online only. Some going to do it online, but only for specific region. Some will try to combine. So it's nobody right now, nobody know what will happen and how they're going to do it.
Yeah.
Everybody trying to adjust.
See, that's one thing I like about being a podcaster is that I get to see stuff sometimes before the public. And, you know, I appreciate you sending me the link to the film, and I've seen another film the same way. And you know, it's just, I feel special when I get to do that because I get to see something that nobody else does. And then, you know, it's nice to interview those people because I get to see the insights to see what they're thinking, to feel what they feel. And that's why I like doing this. And, you know, I'm glad that I reached out to everybody, and I'm glad that you brought, you know, everybody with you. That's really cool. That's actually the first time that that's ever happened. Normally I would have had to contact all three of the stars, and you did it for me. And, you know, to that, I'm internally grateful. I mean, that's, you know, that's pretty cool because it promotes your film. It helps promote them. And that's basically what you want. So that's very cool that you did that.
Thank you. That's kind of what I'm thinking about us as a team.
Yeah.
All my cast put a lot of efforts into this film. Everybody told you about this. Mark actually saved several shots. That's a funny story. If you want, I can tell you.
Okay.
For boxing scenes, a boxing ring was built in a way it was actually very high above ground. And we had setup of two cameras. One camera was inside the ring, and we had second one, which was doing pickups and wide shots. And when with my director of photography, Nikolai Kovalenko, we was thinking how we're going to put it, and we going through all options. So to have second camera outside the ring, we needed higher than actual actors. For that, we needed to rent a crane or a thing called Jeep, pretty expensive kind of setup, which is also big. It's also problems with transportations. So Nikolai, Nick, our director of photography, come up with this idea. Let's use a ladder.
Makes sense.
He found specific model of ladder which we needed, not too heavy so we can move it around and tall enough. We gone through like three Home Depot. We cannot find this specific ladder. And like it's several days before we start rolling. So I start reaching to everybody. I'm asking like, hey, Mark, can you look in your local Home Depot? Is it there? And he said, oh, actually, I have this in my garage.
Is it one of those? Is it one of those double step ladders where it's a like a ladder on both sides?
Kind of like that, yeah. I think it had like at the top, it had like a flat surface. We done several adjustments, you know, filmmaking secrets, so we can put stable cameras there. So we, sorry, Mark.
I think it was a gorilla. No, I said, I think it was a gorilla ladder. And it was like, yeah, they did have one at the Home Depot. The one that they had was all beat up. And I'd seen that and I go, you know, wait a second though. I actually think I have this in the garage. I started digging. I'm like, sure enough.
And there he saves the day.
All right, never mind.
That's why I brought Mark from the beginning. I knew this would happen. I knew.
Now, Sean, what do you have coming down the pipeline? Anything else in the works?
Right now, I'm working on. I just got some new headshots and coordinating with a really amazing stunt coordinator who I know personally from Seattle, and I'm trying to get that put together right now. So. Pilot season's coming up, trying to get submitted as much as possible, but no projects that are right away right now. So just hoping for a really good 2022.
Cool. What about you, Oksana?
Yeah, kind of the same. I just recently finished working on another short film, and I'm looking forward to see how that came out. And, you know, several dance projects. But other than that, I really enjoy, you know, learning and making myself better actress. And yeah, I enjoy that process very much.
That's cool. And Mark?
Yeah, wrapped up a couple short films. They're out there making their circuit in 2021. You know, we'd wrap those up. Now I relocated to New Smyrna Beach, Florida. So, you know, I'm trying to find the lay of the land out here, taking classes, doing some VO stuff, submitting for auditions, but just kind of, you know, trying to find my pace here. So
New Smyrna, so I think that is above me. Is that near St. Augustine?
It's south of St. Augustine. It's right there between Daytona and Cape Canaveral. So I can see the launches when they make right above the horizon. Once they break the, you know, horizon, I can see the space launches.
I'll have to get with you sometime.
That'd be fun.
That's cool. And okay, folks, so we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. So I'm going to give each one of you some time to reflect, promote your social medias, and then I will take it from there. And we'll start with Eugene.
Okay, so if you want to reach me, you can write directly to my email. It's eugene.khazin@gmail.com, eugene.khazin@gmail.com. Or you can leave a message at our film's social medias, Facebook or Instagram, Steel Wheel Film, 3 words, no spaces between them.
Okay. And Sean?
Yeah. So you can find me on IMDb, imdb.com/Sean Ferguson, or on Instagram. I won't give you all the, if you type in Sean Ferguson, you'll see me. I think there's only a few of us out there, so that's good. Yeah, because there's like underscores in there and that's too hard to remember. So
Oksana?
Yeah, main social media I use is Instagram. So it's just my first and last name, Oksana Platero. And I just hope everybody can show support to this film. And I really hope we can make the feature film.
That's good. And Mark?
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, Facebook, it's heron.mark, and then Mark Heron VO and on Instagram, and IMDb, Mark Heron. So yeah, you know, they're all, everybody's linked here. So if you're on somebody's, you probably got friends and everything else. We're all linked together. So really easy to connect.
Nothing wrong with that. And if anybody would like to get a hold of me, if they go to Facebook, do a search for The Jose Show. I have a page and a group. And on Instagram, I am The Jose Roldan. And on Twitter, I am at Jose Roldan Jr. You've been listening to The Jose Show on Turfs Up Radio. And I'd like to thank our guest, Sean Ferguson, Oksana Platero, Mark Heron, and director Eugene Cousin for being on the show. I appreciate everybody here. Thank you once again. It's been a pleasure, and for sharing your thoughts, your experiences on this film. And hopefully we can do something like this again soon. And but I do appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. And be sure to share this podcast episode with your friends, families, and your enemies, because they may no longer be your enemies. You're listening to The Jose Show.
Thanks for listening to The Jose Show. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And see you next time on The Jose Show.